Surprise! This is Jane for Casinos USA podcast on this late April afternoon. It's our 132nd podcast. We started back in September of 2016 and have been growing our listening base ever since. We welcome all our new listeners, and as always, we're so happy that many of our regulars join us. Coach Fab always invites his digital audience, and of course, they are here today as well. So we have just returned from our Easter vacation, our spring break for boomers, as we named it. It was an exciting trip for both of us, especially because we were staying in two resorts that were new to us. First, we spent 3 nights at the M Resort in Henderson, Nevada, perhaps better known as the official resort of the Las Vegas Raiders, where it features the Raiders Tavern and Grill as well as a Raiders store. And there's many decorative touches to the hotel. There's a Raiders statue where you can take pictures. The elevators are painted as the official hotel resort of the Las Vegas Raiders. There's also a little truck. I mean, it's actually a truck that has a helmet as the cab, and it's driven around Allegiant Stadium sometimes. So you may have seen that on television and during their games. The M Resort is a 355 very attractive room hotel, and it has a very attractive casino with it. We were picked up by the M at the airport. They will also take you back, although we didn't need it at that time. But that's a great service because it's, you know, there's no cab lines to wait on. There is no inconvenience to family if they live there. First thing that happened was the driver offered us water. Now, that was really a very nice gesture, and everybody at the hotel offers you water. The valet, when we pulled in, offered us water. In every room, there's water. No other hotel has, you know, did this for us, lately anyway. It's a quiet, calm, classy attitude that you get there. If you want strip activities or you like the walkability to other properties, this place wouldn't be for you, as it is kind of like on an island. There's no other facility on the property but this casino hotel. The only disappointment to me was that the sports book was very small, too. It's very nicely furnished. It has everything that you need there, but it's just small. And I just like big sports books. There are enough restaurants in the hotel, and they're all good, and they're especially reasonably priced. There's the Raiders Tavern and Grill with the Raiders clothing shop inside. We thought that restaurant would be expensive, but it wasn't. In fact, it was less than the casinos that are here in Pennsylvania. But someone said to me, well, it's also since it's considered an off-strip hotel and casino. There's an Italian restaurant, there's a steakhouse, and then one of the things we really like, there's a bakery. And the elevators are convenient to everything. When you get off the elevators, you can walk to the casino. It's very close. You walk right into the coffee shop bakery, or if you go left, you go back into the lobby. But Coach Fav and I are what we call coffee snobs, and we were so delighted to go into this bakery and talk to the two women who have been there since they opened it. And they explained to us that they bake everything there. They have fresh baked goods every day, all day. They're open 24 hours, which is another feature that we really liked. So my first question was, well, how's the coffee? Is it mild, or is it, you know, kind of weak? Is it very strong? And they said, oh, our coffee's very good. It's espresso based. Well, let me tell you, it was better than Starbucks. It was great. We love the coffee there. And coming from us, that is a major, major statement. So for us, one of the most important things when we're away is when we get up and we have our coffee. Now, they don't have room coffee like some of the hotels do, but who would want it? We went right down, got off the elevator, 5 steps, we're in the bakery. And they have tables in there where you can sit down. They have lunches that you can buy. You can sit out in the hallway between the casino and the hotel. It's a very nice atmosphere. There weren't a lot of kids, but there were some kids there because it was Easter break. I will also mention that the pool is heated, and it's a big pool, and the surrounding area of the pool is very large. There's lots of chairs at no cost. There's also cabanas you could rent. They have nice cabanas right in the pool that I hadn't seen very many places. There's a stage there where some of my family said they had already gone to concerts there. There's a bar with food service. So everything is there in the pool area that you would want. And I checked with some of the hotel officials, and they told me that the hotel approached the Raiders to form this kind of partnership with the Raiders organization. And it was because Henderson's airport is right across from the Raiders practice facility, and the M is very close hotel to that. And it was very convenient then for the Raiders. So it was the hotel that approached the Raiders management, and we think it was a very good union.
I also think it's just for some of our listeners, there's a first-class marijuana dispensary right down the street. And you know, when you're on the strip, you know, I don't partake in marijuana, I'll be honestly, but when you're on the strip, people have to get driven off the strip to get it. At the M, you're actually within walking distance, and if you wanted to take a cab, it couldn't be very much money. It's just right down the street. You can see it, and it's obviously a very nice one in the city of Henderson. So that's important for some people when they go to Nevada. Don't ever try to bring it home if you live in a non-marijuana state, because you'd be arrested at the airport for it. But that's important for a lot of people, and that's why we mention it. Also, if you're a Penn National player at another casino out of state, out of Nevada, you can use your MyCash at the M, and it's just like a natural thing. There's no hassle. I mean, we basically ate all our meals on MyCash. Nobody said a word. We just said, here, gave them my player's card and said, we want to use MyCash. And they'd always say, not a problem. And there's something Janie liked. I really liked it, too. We ran into some Raiders executives and some Raiders players, and they actually, we were in the elevator with us, and we didn't say a word. They spoke to us. Hey, do you two like the M? Do you like it here? That kind of thing. Did you enjoy that, Janie?
Yeah. Oh, I did, and of course, Fab had one of his Notre Dame shirts on, which he wears a lot, and they would strike up the conversation and say, oh, Notre Dame, did you play there or go there? And very personable. The Raiders, everybody involved in that organization has taken a real part in this facility.
When we were there, Derek Carr just signed his $121 million contract. Yeah. And so I asked the players and the executives, I said, is Derek Carr treating you to dinner? And they laughed about that. They said, yeah, he probably will, and he probably should. But they also said this, and listen, they said, and he's worth every cent he's being paid. So I thought, wow, that's support without asking for it. So I think Janie really covered M Resort's positives very well, and did mention that she was upset about the small size of the sports book, but we would definitely stay there again. And if you have a car, it's not a problem to get to the strip, but if you wanted to go casino hopping, the M would not be a place to stay. But the complimentary pickup at the airport and those types of things that they do, very, very interesting and very positive. It sets them apart, I think. In terms of just luxury, the M Resort is a very luxurious resort, and it doesn't make it any different than any other casino once you're gambling, but to the eye, it's very attractive. And so I give my full-fledged support of stopping at the M, and particularly if you're comp from Penn National, because the rooms are rather pricey. Room prices in general have gone up, and they are pricey at the M Resort. But again, it's not different than the Wynn or the Encore would be, or the Bellagio, those types of resorts on the Strip.
Of course, we require a lot as tourists, and we always require a refrigerator and a safe And the M did provide that. And so did the other two places where we stayed, South Point and Bally's. I don't know if that's important to you, but it's very important to us to have that refrigerator. A lot of it is for medical reasons, for what we need, but also just for convenience, you know, not to waste food that we want to bring back. Or in our case, we brought half and half from our daughters in K-cups at the South Point resort. And so you need a refrigerator to keep that that half and half viable. So that was another thing. And I also want to add to the Penn National gamers out there like me here in Pittsburgh, we Hollywood at the Meadows is this. Penn National also has a comp deal with the Tropicana in Las Vegas, and we took advantage of that deal as well. So you have a choice if you go with the Penn National, you know, comp stay, you could go to the M or to the Tropicana. So I wanted to mention that. So a three-night stay at the M Resort was, what's the other word? Is it just wonderful, awesome, those kind of words, because I loved every second of it. But we would go on to South Point, and South Point is known as a locals casino resort. Of course, you don't have to be a local to stay there, but even the guru, Anthony Curtis, who is a video poker expert, says it's one of the best places to play video poker. And when we talk about the South Point, we're going to talk about that, and but also share with you all the things that they offer. It's a 1,300 size hotel, but we're not going to talk about it today because there's just too much to talk about. But we were asked, we will talk about it next podcast, but we were also asked by a member of our Facebook group to talk about Bally's, because we spent the final two nights of our spring break for Boomers on the Strip at Bally's. And of course, Bally's is a Caesars property. And, you know, we have some sway with Caesars because we stayed at Harrah's in September in a suite. And, you know, you get credit now anymore, as Janie says, for any time you spend cash at a property. It's not just about gambling. It's, you know, food, drink, gambling, shows, anything. You know, you put your player's card into it, you get credit for it. So we could stay at Bally's on the Strip in a queen room with a refrigerator. All the rooms at Bally's have refrigerators and a safe, the kind of room that we like, for two nights for a total with taxes and resort fee for a total of $114. And that's why we stayed there. And I'm not going to badmouth Bally's in any way as far as room rates, because if you have a player's card, they are very, very generous. However, Bally's is in a transition, and Janie explained to me that all the Bally's in the country are, because the Horseshoe is taking over them, and Bally's will become the Horseshoe on the Strip. So one of the issues right now is the restaurants that used to be available and close to the rooms are no longer there. They do have a food court. I will mention what's available. There also was a sort of like a deli-style area called Nosh, but it's only open on weekends. And it closes early in the evening, so it's not a 24-hour place. They do have a coffee service, decent coffee, near the registration area in the morning that opens around 5:30 a.m., 6 a.m. So unless you want to walk outside on the Strip or you want to go to the food court, it's tough to eat at Bally's because there's nothing there. You could go over to Paris, but again, that's a hike. Now, again, we were there, you know, Easter Sunday, so even places in Paris were closed. But downstairs in the food court, there's a Nathan's Hot Dogs. That's not 24 hours. They have specific hours. There's a Pan-Asian Express, same thing, specific hours. Sabora Pizza, which is a 24-hour pizza place. Subway, which is 24 hours. And Johnny Rockets, which is 24 hours. And those are all good things. But what I'm telling you is that's a hike, you know, and if you're getting up and you want to walk to a leisurely breakfast, but you don't want to walk too far, those really aren't known for breakfast foods. That's the issue. Bally's does have very easy access to the Strip. You can walk right out the front door. That's another positive. And if you're coming by a taxi or Uber, in our case, we were driven there by our daughter, they have a place to pull in their Uber entrance that is right by the registration. There's no steps involved at all. It's very convenient to get in and out of Bally's. Now, you know, up the street from Bally's, of course, is the Link Promenade. And there's a variety of places there that most people would enjoy. And certainly we did. We enjoyed them. And the most important aspect of Bally's for us on most trips is its proximity to Ellis Island, which if you go out that side door at Bally's, walk down the street to Koval Lane, and to your right, a short walk, is Ellis Island. So that's another feature about Bally's. But it's not our first choice because right now they're in transition. We stayed there because of the room rates. Now, one of the more memorable things for us and the pride we take in the podcast and the number of listeners we have, but we have them from all over the United States and around the world, and we met one of our listeners, David, at Ellis Island. He was also staying at a suite at Bally's, and again, those are great prices, and it was just so cool to talk to a listener, and we have a picture on our Facebook group, and he was quite a guy, and he, you know, when he comments in our Facebook group, and consider joining that, it's called Casinos USA, it's written as two words. You know, everybody takes him seriously because he's an experienced gambler, experienced traveler, and most importantly, like us, he's a low roller. You know, he's not going to brag about going into a craps game with $9,000 or something like that. You know what I mean? So he's the kind of gambler that we are. We're low rollers. You know, sometimes we do get involved in games and we get it going, you know, where somebody else gets it going for us, another shooter, and we do end up with considerable amounts of money, even thousands of dollars. But we're more likely to leave a casino a couple hundred dollars up or $150 down, you know, one of those kind of things. And that's how David is. He was having a good week at the craps table. We both played at Ellis. We both were successful at Ellis. And, you know, the other thing about Ellis being so close to Bally's, Ellis Island offers a $5 craps table, which is getting nearly impossible to find. Even on Fremont Street, it's difficult to find a $5 table downtown. So that was another thing that you can enjoy at Ellis Island, as well as the most inexpensive quality food that I think you can find in Vegas. I love the food there. And then, of course, it's a locals place. It's a brewery. And, it, you know, it attracts a lot of people for that reason. And it has, you know, high-paying slot machines, too. So kudos to David for checking us out, because it meant so much to meet him. We really will never forget that. So again, we will talk about South Point in a very detailed way next podcast. We hope you enjoyed Janie's commentary on the M Resort and our discussion of Bally's with you. But we are going to take a short break and come back for the ever so popular Craps Talk. Okay, short break, and we'll be right back. Hey, it's Coach Fav and my Craps Talk segment. I just wanted to say I probably spend so much time on social media because of our podcast. And maybe some of you do too, you know, podcast or not. But I came across one of my favorite Craps people, and that's Jeremy Ellerick of Color Up. Does a fantastic job, an amazing job, and very honest, transparent presentations of different ways to play Craps. But in his latest one, well, I shouldn't say his latest one, but in a recent one, one of his videos on YouTube, Jeremy Ellerick's Color Up videos, he said that electronic tables, picture this, there's only one person operating the table. There are no chips on the table. There could be seats around the table or seats close to the table, stadium-wise. There is a shooter, and the shooter does toss the dice, but the shooter makes her bets, his bets, on a screen just as the other players do. So the idea of getting chips and, you know, putting them on the pass line or the don't pass line or in the come or laying them or whatever you're doing, it's all done on a computer screen. And, of course, the table flashes and makes all kinds of appealing or unappealing, depends on your taste, of lights. You know, and it also shows the number of rolls. It shows the number just rolled, those kind of things. You know, a pass line win, etc. So it captures the essence of a regular table, but it's not a regular table. And Jeremy believes that, and he states this openly, that these electronic tables, as well as the bubble craps and the single cylinder craps with the smaller white dice, will just help bring people to the game of craps, because the game of craps was once perhaps the most important game in a casino. I don't think that's completely true. I think it's always been blackjack from the beginning, but it was so popular. Now today, of course, with casinos spread across the country, and not just in Las Vegas or Atlantic City, you know, there's still thousands and thousands of people that play craps. But, you know, he thought this could actually help bring even more people to the craps table. And I'm going to say, God, I hope he's right. I hope he's right. But I'm afraid he may not be. I think there's a place for electronic tables. And here's my position on why I think there's a place for bubble craps, single cylinder craps, and electronic tables. And that is because it takes four people to operate a craps table. And because of that, you know, the box man, two dealers are all on the same side, and then the stick man, who is pushing the dice to the shooter and sometimes paying bets, very seldom, but more or less announcing what happens on the table. And because of the commitment of four people, dealers, being paid, craps tables aren't open sometimes, particularly in the mornings. You know, the craps tables are shut down. And so I always thought, boy, if you're going to close your craps tables and not have dealers there, okay, I understand that from a business perspective. I think you should have a bubble craps machine or even an electronic table with just one dealer. That might be better. And generally speaking, the bubble craps and electronic tables have lower limits, you know, maybe a $5 limit. The bubble craps could go as low as a dollar line bet limit, you know, so you can play for a dollar minimum, I should say, not limit. So they have lower minimums, these electronic tables and bubble craps machines. But if it's true that they become extremely popular, I could see casinos saying, well, you know, what the hell? Let's just eliminate the regular tables because we're saving money. Because, again, these electronic tables can be operated with just one dealer. And, of course, bubble craps can be operated with no dealers. And I think that's my fear. And I hope Jeremy's right. I hope it doesn't do that. I hope that the regular tables grow and there's more people wanting to play craps, you know, in the mornings and the afternoons and not just the evenings, so that casinos feel it's safe business-wise to keep those regular tables open. But I'm just not so sure about that. So, Jeremy, we hope you're right, but I fear that ultimately this new electronic craps table, trend, could do something that's not something that I would want to see. Fewer and fewer real regular craps tables with four people working them and chips on the table. If any listener wants to comment on this, please give our 24/7 voicemail a call, and you have up to 5 minutes on that, and we'll be happy to put your response to these issues in our next podcast. It's 724-519-4556, 724-519-4556. Of course, don't use your real name. You can use a first name, a nickname, and please give us the state, maybe the city or area where you're calling from, just out of our interest, you know, as we track our podcast. But we'd love to hear from you. We also have a Facebook group. It nearly has 1,000 people in it, and it's called Casinos USA, and people do comment there, and unless it's filled with profanity or it's trying to sell something, we let all those comments on there. So if you want to join the Facebook group and make a call, that would be really nice. Thank you so much for even thinking about it. But there are a lot of people who love casinos and love gambling that do call the show and are members of our Facebook group, Casinos USA. Well, I wanted to give you a sort of a strategy and methodology in terms of the single cylinder machines, the white dice machines, because they sometimes have a dollar line limits. pass line, don't pass line. And I want to give you a strategy that can be effective. But I want to also alert you that the martingale method, which is ancient, it's generally associated with roulette from centuries past, where, you know, if you lose, you bet the color red, you bet a dollar, then you bet $2. You lose that, then you put two and one together and you bet $4. You know, so you can always win, but you have to keep raising your bets in a martingale system. And ultimately, in negative expectation games, which table games are in casinos, you're doomed to fail. And the reason you're doomed to fail is because there's table limits, you know. So you could lose 15 bets in a row, and all of a sudden you'd reach a table limit. You can't go anymore. So, you know, you can win some of your money back if your luck gets different. But ultimately, the martingale system will destroy you. And I'm not saying anything differently. That's just how it is. But I do use the martingale system in the beginning of bubble craps game. And you could do the same thing with electronic craps, perhaps. But and here it is, and it's been effective for me. I'm starting to see more and more people bet bigger on these bubble craps machines than might have been, so, you know, 5 years ago. And the Interblock machine that people are talking about that's new to Las Vegas, it's been around. Maryland Live had one for at least 6 or 7 years, you know, idea of stadium craps. These machines are involved with dice, though, not computer chips. And that's the thing. The electronic craps table, there's a shooter with dice. It doesn't sound like the dice. It sounds like the dice are hitting glass, and they're not, you know, the sound that you would see at a regular table. But they do involve hitting the back wall and bouncing and do all that. So if you believe in dice setting, you can still do it. But obviously, it's a little different. In a bubble craft machine, there's no dice setting whatsoever, you know. You're just waiting for the right time to hit that lever and make those dice pop up and go. Hey, you might be thinking, hey, Coach Fab, like, why are you playing these games, man? I thought you were like a regular craps guy. Well, here's why I went to the bubble craps style game. It's because of standing so long. You know, like a lot of people, you know, I had an injury to a knee in high school football, and that's not the end of it, though. And then, you know, as I got older in college, then I started to race motorcycles, motocross, and you talk about taking a pounding on your back and leg and hips and all that. And I've already had a hip replacement on my left side, probably have to get something done with my right knee and right hip as well, particularly because that's how I kick-started the bike, which wouldn't start all the time. Oh, those were the good old days. But so I can only stand 90 minutes or so without really pain, you know, real pain. So I still want to keep playing sometimes. So then I go to a bubble craps machine. And these inexpensive ones, the dollar line bet type of machine, you know, start with a bet on either line and then put your next equal bet. Say it's a dollar on the line and then you make a dollar come bet. So if you seven out and you're on the don'ts, you're going to win on both. If you're on a pass line, you're going to break even. Let's keep going. Hey, the come number is whatever, you know. It moves somewhere to a 9 or a 5 or a 4 or a 10 or a 6 or a 5. It moves somewhere. Then put $3 on the come. So an early 7, you're going to win still. You win more on the don'ts, of course, but you're going to win still. Then, you know, you might win once that $3 goes to the number, that might roll again and you can win. Okay, your next bet would be $6 on the come. And I'll go one more with you. I'd even go to $5, $12. So I have 1, 1, 3, 6, 12. That's what I would do. That's what I have done. At the M Resort, I also hopped the sevens at time. And when there was a streak started, I started hopping them as well, you know, as increasing the come bet. So I walked away, you know, over $300, which was nice. I had won a little over 100 at the regular craps table, playing from the don'ts, but doing it hybridly. I was also placing bets, not using the comp. But it's easy to do when it's a low limit like that, a dollar line bet. So that's the martingale system, you know, where you're, you know, doubling, adding even more than doubling your bets. You can't do it continuously because there's limits, but more importantly, it's not worth the risk, you know? Here's the other thing, too, to remember. When you're using the cum in a strategy, whether it's smart craps, you know, with full odds, that kind of thing, cum bets are contracts, not the odds on them. Now, you can always, you know, come down, take the odds off, but cum bets are contracts, and they can't be taken down. Place bets, on the other hand, there's an advantage. You don't have the option of putting true odds on a place bet. Your place bet pays what it pays. But the advantage is that you can take place bets down. But, you know, I've seen people at regular tables and looking over their shoulder at bubble craps, they'll start the game with, you know, $5 on the pass line, play maybe one or two odds or no odds at all, which is strange. And then suddenly, you know, they're making $10 place bets on every number but the point number, you know. So, you know, they have $50 in place bets. It doesn't matter about the 6 and the 8 on an electronic table because it pays whether it's a dollar. It doesn't have to be a $6 thing. That's what I'm saying. It just has to be the minimum bet. But I've seen people go, you know, $10 across, and all of a sudden, a 7, boom, they lose, you know. And they're out 60, 70 bucks just like that, just like it would be in a regular table. So don't think for a second you can't lose your butt on these tables, electronic or bubble. You can certainly lose your butt. You can also win. I always tell you, one of my resources, I have a grandson who's a dealer at a very prestigious casino, and, you know, he tells me dealers are fearful that these electronic games could, you know, take away some of the craps tables. So that, you know, I'm not saying he's saying it's happening now, but he sees the same potential for a change, you know, down the road. And he's a young man, so, you know, I'm not. I'm an old man. So on the Facebook group, I love to post pictures from years gone by with celebrities and stars that I had a fortune as I traveled the country to meet, you know. So these people, I think I aged better than a lot of them, you know. They were young and handsome, young and beautiful, but I think right now I might have passed them up in that regard. That's up to you to decide. Not that it's even important. So there we go again. All right, so Jeremy Ellerich says these electronic tables will help craps. He believes they'll bring back craps, move craps to the forefront. And my answer there to Jeremy is, I hope you're right. I'm just not so sure. It's kind of like that old line in a rock standard, I thought I'd live forever, but now I'm not so sure. And as you age, you start to sing that a little more. I thought I'd live forever, but now I'm not so sure. But the point is, in time, we'll get the answer. And I hope Jeremy's right and I'm wrong. But there are ways to play at these lower limits, and give them a try. I also want to say that there is no perfect system in craps. Craps is a negative expectation game. And when someone tells you they got a surefire way for you to make $10,000 a day, you know, you might as well call down to Florida and buy swampland because it's the same deal, okay? And when someone tells you they can control dice, I think you can influence dice a little bit by the set that you use if you set the dice. But control dice, it's not happening, baby. Not on this planet. So there we go. We really had a full agenda today, and we're not done yet. We want to do a great job with South Point. I got my first Royal Flush in South Point in the next podcast. I got my first Royal Flush at the M Resort. But we'll talk about South Point for video poker, and I'll talk about all the things that South Point Casino Resort in Vegas offers, because it's a big, big one. It's a palace for local people and, you know, out-of-towners as well. We'll talk also about the Mob Museum, which we have talked about growing up in a mob area around New Kensington, Pennsylvania, and that was also mentioned. New Ken was mentioned in the Mob Museum in one of their displays. So it's a fantastic experience, and I would certainly recommend it. But that will all be in our next podcast. We really appreciate our new listeners and our traditional regular people that listen to us. We've been on the radio now in Northern California, FM Talk. Sometimes reviews our podcast. That's great. So we continue to grow and expand. We've been here, as Janie said in the beginning, since September of 2016. And, you know, when you realize that there are days when we're over 10,000 people a day, that's just so exciting. Doesn't happen every day, but it's happening more and more frequently. So we appreciate it. And, you know, we're not monetizing anything through our listeners. We're not asking for donations. We are monetized by just playing it, you know. We're getting a small percent, a tiny, tiny fraction of the advertising. That's just how it works for us. A lot of people don't do that, but we do it. That's how we're going to help defray the cost of our podcast. Well, anyway, please give us a look on Casinos USA Facebook, and don't hesitate to call the show. And remember that Casinos USA, as always, is a place where every day is Saturday. Thanks for listening. See you in a couple weeks.
Hey, every day is Saturday.